Theater 5 presents Panic. Mad? Oh, Cora, you think you're insane just because you thought you parked your car on one side of the street and found you'd parked it on the other?
But I was so terribly sure.
A lapse of memory happens to everybody. Oh. But why go to pieces over something like that? Look, Cora, it's late. How about giving your future husband a nightcap and then I'll be on my way.
All right, darling. You want whiskey or brandy or... Oh, no.
What is it? What is it? Why are you staring at that picture?
There were three children playing.
What?
In the picture, there were three children playing.
Cora, you can see for yourself there were only two.
But there were three. I know there were. When I bought that painting a few days ago, I remember thinking how nicely balanced the scene was because of the third figure. Didn't you notice it when I showed it to you?
I'm afraid I didn't pay much attention, but I'm... not much of an art lover.
There were three, Bill. There were three.
Easy now. Now, this is silly. I know how we can settle this. Steve has seen the painting, hasn't he?
Well, I...
Let me just call him and then...
No, he's playing cards at his club. He won't be home until 1 or 2 in the morning. Anyhow, I don't care what Steve says or what you say. There were
all
three.
All right. There were three. There were 30.
No.
Oh, it doesn't matter, Cora. All that matters to me, sweetheart, is you, and you can't let yourself go to pieces like this.
Oh, Bill. Bill?
Look, you're just emotionally upset. It's nothing serious.
My mother...
That has nothing to do with you. Oh, sure, you're emotionally high-strung the way your mother was, but, Cora, dear, believe me, there's nothing wrong with you.
Then how? How do you account for...
Nerves. What else? Just nerves. After what you've been through this past month, you're exhausted physically, emotionally, every way. Look, what you need right now is a good night's sleep.
I couldn't sleep.
You must. Now go on, take a sedative and tuck yourself in for the night, huh? Things will look a lot different in the morning.
Oh, Bill, what would I do without you? You're always so calm and steady. Like a rock I can cling to.
Well, what's a husband for? Well, fiancé, anyhow.
Husband?
We are going to be married, I trust.
You haven't changed your mind? You still love me and want to marry me in spite of...
Oh, you are tired, Cora. Look, I'll never love anyone else, and you know it. Now off with you. I'll let myself out.
All right. Good night, darling.
Why, Bill.
Hello, Steve.
What are you doing here at this hour?
Not so loud. I sent Cora off to bed. But I stayed to talk with you.
Oh, well, look, if it's anything to do with Father's will, couldn't it wait till tomorrow? I mean, it's 2 in the morning.
It's Cora I want to talk about, Steve. I'm worried about her.
Why?
Steve, that picture on the wall, did Cora show it to you when she brought it home the other day?
Why, yes.
How many kids were in that picture, playing?
2, of course.
Cora swears there were 3.
Well, she's mistaken.
Steve, this is more than just a casual mistake. This and a lot of other things that have been happening. That's why I'm worried.
Well, you don't have to be. I know what makes my sister tick, and I can assure you she's going to be all right.
Going to be?
She's had a rough time emotionally since Dad's death. She isn't exactly herself, but it's nothing serious.
I think it is. Or maybe if something isn't done. Cora ought to see a psychiatrist.
Look, you're attaching far too much importance.
I don't think so. Naturally, I haven't told Cora how I feel. I didn't want to worry her. Or if it comes to that, let her know how worried I am.
And you were the rock that I clung to.
Cora!
I put my trust in you. my faith in you, and all the time you were lying.
Laura, you're all wound up.
You kept assuring me that I'm all right, and all the time you think I'm heading for an asylum, that I need a psychiatrist.
Cora, I couldn't tell you
the truth. How you really feel about me. So you told me lies. Is that what you're saying?
Cora, darling, you don't know what you're saying. I didn't lie to
you. Get out.
Cora, hold on to yourself.
Get out. Get out. Get out and never come back.
Maybe you better go, Bill.
Yeah. Maybe you're right.
You shouldn't have talked to Bill like that, Cora. He's got your best interests at heart. And the way you're acting these days, well, I understand, but he doesn't. I know this thing with you is temporary. Another thing he's got to think about is your lawyer, for your good is your inheritance. You're worth over $100,000, honey, and if Bill feels you're incapable... Cora, what... What are you going to do with that letter opener?
There were three. I know there were three.
Cora, no, the painting. Now, don't!
Three! There were three! Three! Three!
Nice to have you with us again, Mr. Chalmers.
Thanks, Gino.
You're expecting Miss Bannister?
No, her brother.
And speak of the devil.
Oh.
Hope I haven't kept you waiting, Bill. Gino?
Mr. Bannister? The usual.
Martini, Bill?
Well, all right.
Yes.
Two martinis.
Steve, about the other night...
Cora's miserable about what happened.
Yeah, so am I.
Well, then why don't you two just kiss and make up,
I love Cora, always will. That's why I'm so worried about her, Steve. Why, I feel very strongly that she ought to consult a psychiatrist.
Now, listen to me, Bill. This thing Cora's going through, nothing serious. My mother used to have the same attacks of, depression, loss of memory, fits of temper. But what you've got to understand is that Cora's a lot more stable than Mother was.
She didn't act any too stable the other night.
Look, you knew my father.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think for one minute he'd have divided his estate evenly between Cora and me, given her a cool $100,000 to handle by herself, if he had thought she wasn't stable?
As a lawyer and Cora's fiancé, Steve, I don't think she ought to be allowed to handle the money so long as...
Pardon, Mr. Chalmers. Telephone call for you. Let me just plug the phone in.
Who's calling me, do you know?
No, but it seems urgent. Here you are.
Thanks. Hello? Yes, Cora? But what? Cora, please, look. Pull yourself together.
Bill, what's going on?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Come on, Steve.
Let me just find my key here, Bill.
Cora. Cora, are you all right?
Well, this is a pleasant surprise.
Surprise?
Cora, what's happened here? What's wrong?
Wrong?
Well, you just telephoned me at Gino's, didn't you?
Steve, what's he talking about?
Well, you did phone him, didn't you? You must have. I was sitting right beside Bill when... Cora, do you mean you don't remember?
I didn't telephone Bill. I didn't telephone anyone.
Cora,
I tell you, I didn't. I have been sitting here reading ever since Steve left to have lunch with you.
But there was a phone call.
Well, it wasn't me. It wasn't!
Now, look, sis, we're going to try and keep calm and talk this thing over sensibly. Bill and I were sitting there in Gino's, and Bill was saying how worried he is over you being allowed to handle your inheritance in your present condition.
Oh, so that's it, Mr. Chalmers. That's why you're so anxious to make me think that I am mentally unstable.
What?
That's why you keep telling me to see a psychiatrist. It's the money.
Cora, you don't mean that.
You want to establish the fact that I need psychiatric help.
Cora, in heaven's
name. Don't you see? Later, after we're married, he could have me declared incompetent. He's trying to establish the grounds for it
now. Cora, stop it. What put such a thought in your head?
Well, it's in Father's will, isn't it? If anything should happen to me, my share goes to you unless I'm married, in which case it goes to my husband.
And you think that I would...
Mr. Chalmers... I told you once to get out of here, and now I'm telling you again.
All right. Sure, Cora. Anything you say.
Cora, you had no right to do that. I was there, sitting beside Bill when your call came.
I didn't call.
Well, someone did.
Well, it wasn't me. Steve? Bill arranged it.
What?
Yes, that's it. He arranged for someone to call.
He'd never do a thing like that.
Yes.
Look, now just a minute. Gino knows you. He knows your voice. Call him. Ask him. Ask him if Bill received a call from you.
I'll just do that. Is Gino... Oh, Gino, this is Cora Bannister. Gino, Mr. Chalmers received a telephone call at your place a little while ago. Did you happen to recognize the voice of the person calling him? I see. But if it had been me, do you think you would have recognized my voice? Why couldn't it have been me? Thank you, Gino. Thank you very much.
It couldn't have been you?
Gino says the voice on the other end was a man's.
Oh, come in, Bill. Cora and I just finished dinner. She went out to mail a letter. Cup of coffee?
No, thanks, Steve. Hey, look, we could have met at my office.
I know. Well, maybe I'm a matchmaker at heart.
Huh?
I asked you to come because I want to see you and Cora get together again.
It won't work.
She's miserable without you, Bill. I can tell you that.
No more miserable than I am, but what's the sense in us meeting again? Feeling the way she does?
Well, she's had a week to calm down and get a grip on herself. She's a different person, Bill. And you'll see, I was right when I said her condition was just temporary. Just one of those things.
Oh.
Hello, Cora.
You know, I don't want to see you, Bill.
Cora, that isn't true. You love Bill. You told me so.
I didn't say that.
Look, sis, you sat right there at dinner tonight and told me that...
What? What did you say?
I said you sat right at that table tonight and told...
We didn't have dinner here tonight. Did we?
Well, now, what...
But we didn't. We dined at Gino's. I'd just come from there.
Cora, you went out to mail some letters only 10 minutes ago. You finished dinner and...
No, not here. It wasn't here.
Sis, there's the table with the remains of dinner on it. And if we had dinner at Gino's, what am I doing here?
Because after dinner at Gino's, I went to the powder room, and when I came back, you'd gone.
Without you? Why would I have left without you?
Well, I thought it was strange. I couldn't understand But it's so clear in my mind being at Gino's and having dinner there and... No.
Cora.
Oh, please.
Don't push me away, darling. I love you. You know that.
I don't know.
I'm not going to let you send me away again, Cora. You must realize, after what's just happened, that you do need psychiatric help.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
All right, then. I'll arrange for it tomorrow. I'll call and let you know what time I'm picking you up. And you'd better be wearing more than just one earring, especially if it's a pair that I gave you.
Earring?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bill, I'm sorry. I must have lost one.
I'll buy you another pair as a wedding gift.
Mr. Chalmers, afraid we're closing.
I see. Well, in that case, Gino,
You okay? You look a little tired.
I am, very. That's why I dropped in, late as it is. I could use a drink.
Well, why didn't you say so? I don't mind taking care of my regulars. What would you like?
Something strong.
Brandy? A double brandy and soda. Will you sit at the bar?
Yeah, sure. Gino?
Hmm?
This box with all this junk in it, what is it?
Oh, lost and found department. Stuff the customers drop or forget on the tables.
Boy, quite a collection.
Mm-hmm. One night. Tonight's.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe how careless people can be until they lose something. Here. Here's your drink.
Thanks.
You don't mind if I go on checking the day's receipts?
No, no. Go right ahead. Funny, people being so careless. Some of the stuff in this box looks expensive.
Hmm?
This earring, for instance.
What?
This earring must have cost a mint.
Yeah, yeah.
Any idea who dropped it?
No, no. One of tonight's customers, though.
Oh, speaking of customers, seen much of the Bannisters lately?
No, not in a week or so.
They weren't here tonight for dinner?
Uh-uh.
Well, I'll head on home. What do I owe you, Gino?
Oh, forget it. On the house.
Oh, thanks. Night, Gino.
Good night, Mr. Chalmers. Andre.
Yes, Gino?
You close the place up tonight. I've got something to take care of. Fast. Did your sister lose an earring tonight?
Yes, yes, she did.
Then we've got trouble. She lost it at my place.
So what?
It was in a box on the bar with some other lost stuff. I thought it was your sister's. It was found under your table after you left.
Yeah?
Chalmers came by later for a drink, and he noticed it. I'm sure he spotted it as your sister's.
Then he knows Cora and I did have dinner at your place tonight.
Why do you think I'm here? We've got to do something.
But what?
I don't know yet. All I know, I'm holding your IOUs for all of 38 grand, and my backers are getting a little nasty about it.
What an idiot I've been. If only I'd never stepped into that back room of yours.
No, you're not the only one that feels that way. They put the heat on me, too.
You should have cut me off.
That's water over the dam. Right now, we've got to do something. You've got to do something.
Now, wait. You're in this as deep as I am.
Oh, no. All I did was give you a plan. Show you how to get your hands on your sister's money.
Yeah, by making a nervous wreck of her. Pulling all that stuff on her, parking her car somewhere else, hiring a man to duplicate that painting with two kids instead of three, setting up the dinner tonight.
Now, get hold of yourself. You could have had her committed, and we'd both be in the clear. Now, thanks to Chalmers, we're in a tight spot.
What am I going
to
do?
I can tell you what I'm going to do, what? Brother mine.
How much have you heard, Miss Bannister?
Enough to call the police.
Well, don't!
I'm not afraid of you. Or that gun.
You know, I didn't know the way out of this mess a minute ago. But I know it now. Bannister?
What?
Open the window.
What for?
You'd...
Miss Bannister, I'm sorry. You're a nice girl.
No.
Your brother's okay, too, only he never could walk away from a crap table. So now we're both in a spot.
Gino?
Now, there's only one good way to get rid of a spot, Miss Bannister. Rub it out. I told you, Bannister, open that window.
If you think I'm going to let you
do
this...
It's the only way. And it makes sense, too. You see, she's been acting strangely, on the verge of emotional collapse. So in a fit of depression, she jumps out the window.
No!
Oh, she'll never feel a thing.
No! Let her go! Steve, help me!
Let her alone, Gino. Take your hands off her.
I warned you, Bannister. Now, you, come here. You.
Drop the gun, mister.
What?
Drop it. Up against that wall. Now, face it. Put your hands on it.
Cora. Cora, darling, are you all right?
Oh, Bill.
I found your earring at Gino's.
I know. I heard.
I began to put things together, so I went back to the restaurant. They told me Gino left in a hurry. I figured I knew why and where, so I called the cops.
Oh, Bill. I knew I couldn't live without you.
Without me, you wouldn't have lived very long, darling. But now? Well, just don't try living without me from now on.
Theater 5 has presented Panic, written by George Lowther, directed by Ted Bell.
In the cast, Augusta Dabney, Jim Dukas, Nat Polan, and Owen Jordan. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.